This is my dear friend, Pastor Rob Verdine. Would you please welcome him this morning?
Yeah, I walked into first service to a whole row of girls from up in Oregon, up at our church. And Ella come up, and Taylor come up, and Lily come up. And boy, first service unique. I walk in, I see this whole group, and Susie and I, my wife, we do a young marrieds group, and Ella's getting married in just a few weeks, and this is my niece, Taylor, and this is Lily. Aren't you guys excited to be up front? And Lily and Ella are interns at our church. You give me a little more monitor if you could. And just a couple of weeks ago, they were leading our church. We had a Sunday morning. They were leading it. Lily was leading the church in such a powerful, powerful way. Ella was sharing. It was just so, so powerful. And I just thought, Ella, would you pray for the service today? Will you pray for me? Yeah.
Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you that we get to gather together, Lord. And I just pray that you speak through Rob and just touch lives today, Lord. And I just pray for just an amazing day, Lord, as we just get to gather together in your name, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys are like, whew, Ella got called on, not me. So again, you guys can be seated. So nice to see you guys this morning. So we have like 20 interns at our church. And then it's just so awesome to see the young people being raised up. And I just have such a heart to want to just see them raised up. And they're here. I just couldn't not have them come up and be part of the service. But we're going to look at peace for a troubled soul this morning. Interesting, isn't it, what a guest speaker will speak on? Interesting, isn't it? Peace for a troubled soul. Boy, I felt so strongly this was the message for this morning. And, you know, we're going to look in a minute at John 14:27, but in John 13-17, that's known as the upper room discourse, the last night before Jesus was crucified. And as you understand, those were tremendously important subjects that, and so just a little more on my monitor if I could, tremendously important subjects that Jesus was talking about. It's the night before he's crucified, right? This is a huge time of Jesus giving his last thoughts to his disciples. And if you know those chapters, Jesus introduced the new covenant. They took the bread and the cup. That's huge. And you're to do this in remembrance of me. A servant leadership. Jesus washed their feet was huge. As you know, if you want to serve Jesus, he's our example. If you want to be the greatest, serve. And Jesus said, we're to love one another as I've loved you. That's huge. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. All of these subjects on that last night were huge. Chapter 14, as you go through the upper room discourse, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again for you. That's huge. And John 15, you've got to learn to abide in me, and I in you, and if you do, you'll bear much fruit. Huge subjects. And some of the subjects were repeated over and over, which make them even more important, that Jesus said they hated me. And if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus, people are going to hate you. The way to not be hated is just be like the world and they'll love you. Right? And Jesus repeated that. They're going to even kill you, he said that night before he's crucified. And they're going to think they're serving me. And he repeated that. He repeated the teachings about the Holy Spirit. That I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit is coming. The Paraclete, he's going to be with you. Not just with the 12, but he's going to be with all of us. Just like Jesus was with the 12. And that is repeated over and over. And you just realize that is of the utmost importance, isn't it? If I wasn't speaking on peace this morning, I'd be speaking on the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we learn to be in step with the Holy Spirit. I hope you leave today wanting to be in step with the Holy Spirit. I was coming to the conference that Rob was talking about, and our plane got delayed for 3 hours, and it's so frustrating. I was very frustrated. And, 3 hours sitting in the airport, we wanted to be at the pool in Palm Springs. That's why I was so frustrated. And, but you learn. The Lord wants us to learn not to be frustrated, but in all those inconveniences, to Look for what he's doing. And I wasn't doing a very good job. And I got to the thrifty car rental in Palm Springs as we flew in. And the lady there, she said, now your car is going to be delayed 30 minutes. And I looked at her like, you could see the frustration in my face. And I go, okay, I know it's not your fault. She says, thank you for not being frustrated at me. And I go, oh, of course. She goes, it'll be ready in 20 or 30 minutes. And I turned around. And right when I started to walk, I just had that little nudge of the Holy Spirit, that just that little whisper, go back, pray for her. And so I just, you know, you just learn to follow those nudges. And I turned around and I said to her, well, we have 20 or 30 minutes. How can I pray for you? And she immediately, she's probably about 40, 50 years old. She goes, I just got diagnosed with a lump in my breast. And I have this doctor's appointment this week. And I'm looking, you know, she's talking about lump in her breast. And I'm looking for my wife, Susie, like, come pray with me. But she was nowhere to be found and getting our luggage. And so here I am just praying with this woman at the thrifty counter. And it was so powerful. After we got done, she was just like, thank you. Like this, you made my whole day. And isn't it interesting how, so often we're frustrated, but God's doing something if we just could see it. The other day, Susie and I were down here at the coffee shop down at the beach, and there's a couple there, Victor and Liana, I just overheard them talking about the Lord and a little bit more about the Lord. And Susie went to get our coffee. Seems like everything happens when my wife is away, but it's not. But Susie got back and I leaned over. I said, "Oh, it's so nice to hear you guys talk about the Lord." And before you know it, we're all talking about the Lord. Before you know it, we're all praying. Liana's husband isn't a believer, so we're all just crying out for him. Victor's sister, where does she go to college? Our town, Oregon State. How is that possible? But you know, God's always orchestrating things. It's really the most exciting life if we can be in step, if we can be alive, if we can start seeing, if we can start risking. You say, wow, I think maybe the message is supposed to be on the Holy Spirit. No, we're going to talk about peace today. Because that's one of the things Jesus repeats too. He repeats peace. And let's look at it. John 14:27. Do you know it? Peace I leave with you. The church that Jesus has left behind until he comes is a church that he wants to be at peace. You know that? That's one of the characteristics of us as believers. We have peace. Peace I leave with you. It's not just any peace, my peace. The very peace of Jesus is a gift to us. Right? We're Jesus people. And what do Jesus people look like? We have peace. I think it's one of the things that's so attractive to the world around us is they see the peace we have. It's not as the world gives, do I give to you, right? The world has peace when they see things and they know where the answers are going to come from. Oh, now I'm at peace. But when they can't see the answers or the diagnosis or the future, they're not at peace. But as true Jesus followers, we have peace. It's a gift from Jesus. Look at it repeated. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. It's a gift. It's one of the most beautiful things about being a Jesus follower. And then I added here so you could see the Greek language, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the Greek language is you are troubled. You are anxious. You are worrying about it. And the Lord is saying to his followers, you need to stop. Stop. Stop it. I have a gift for you. I have peace for your troubled soul. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't live in fear. There's an old English word for worry that means to choke. You know, when we're worrying, it's just choking the light, strangling you. And I wonder if you didn't come this morning and it's been strangling the life out of you. You're just worried. You're concerned. And you know, we see Jesus repeat it. John 16:33, just a couple chapters later in that upper room, that why can't I say it? The upper room discourse. A couple chapters later, John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you. So this upper room discourse, that in me, you may have peace. Right? I've been telling you all this. I want you to be at peace. Why does Jesus repeat things? Usually because we're not getting it. Like he's telling them and they're all going, uh-huh, but they don't have peace. A lot of times we're hearing the word and we're going, uh-huh, but we don't have peace. And he's saying, in me, you can have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. And I just put there in parentheses, what does that Greek word mean? It means trials. You can agree. Trouble, affliction. That's what the word tribulation means. Affliction, anguish, distress, frustration I was talking about. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And let's take even a deeper look at that word tribulation. We'll pull it up. It's the Greek word, kind of a funny word, thlipsis. Why don't you say that? Thlipsis. It's just kind of a strange word. It's the root of this Greek word. It means to break. We know that. We might not know the word thlipsis, but we know what breaking is. It means to crush, to press, to compress, right? We go through things and it's just, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's circumstances. It's just squeezing the life out of us. And Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you'll have, and I even enlarge that word for you. It's not just peace. It's a perfect peace. It's the most beautiful thing. The believer has this perfect peace. In the world, we have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And I'll enlarge that a little bit for you. Be courageous, is what Jesus is saying. Be confident. You can be certain in the Lord that he's in control. Everything is being Father filtered. If it's touching your life, he's allowing it to touch your life. I like that phrase, Father filtered. I'm confident, I'm certain, I'm undaunted. That is, I'm not discouraged. And Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have this perfect, yeah, there's tribulations. Yeah, there's things that are crushing you. And this is the way perfect peace works. I don't think it works that we're going through these hard things and we're just like, oh, I don't know about you, but I'm just at perfect peace. It usually doesn't work like that. Usually we're being squeezed. We're frustrated, we're discouraged, we're worrying, it's choking us. And it's as we're going through that, we realize the Lord has more for us. And that's not what he has for us. He has this perfect peace for us as believers. And we talk about the night before Jesus was crucified. Now I want to take you, as we talk about peace for the troubled soul, I want to take you to Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about Easter in the park. I want to take you to the very first Easter, John 20:19, the very first Sunday that Jesus resurrected. We read John 20:19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Our first day is Monday. In Israel, the first day is Sunday. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This is the early church before they had the Holy Spirit, Acts 1. They're afraid. They're locked inside, afraid the Jews are going to get them. And Jesus came and stood. I love that Jesus stands in the midst, or that could be translated, he's in the center of them. You know, by the way, that is Jesus's right place. He's in the center of the church this morning. When he's in his right place in your life, he's in the center of your life. Everything is revolving around him. And he said to them, it's interesting, this very first Sunday, he appears to them. He says, peace be with you. Isn't that interesting? Gathering on Sunday, one of the things that the Lord wants us to have, he wants you to have this morning, is peace. Right? And it might be that you came frustrated, angry, worried, troubled, doubting, choked. But that's not how the Lord wants you to leave. He wants you to leave with this perfect peace. Look at another verse. It's just two verses later, same Sunday, John 20:21. Jesus said to them, again. He has to repeat things. We talked about that. Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I send you. Right? Like you guys aren't getting it. You're afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. I wonder if the Lord's not saying that to you this morning. I don't want you to fear anymore. I want you to have my peace. And then we see 8 days later, which is the next Sunday, John 20:26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. This whole story about Thomas. And Jesus came, the doors being shut. A week later, they're still afraid. He's told them, be at peace. He's told them a second time, be at peace. They're a lot like us. Like, yeah, we hear it. We know. Probably none of us came this morning and didn't know about the peace of God. And so the Lord says to them again. He stood in the midst. He stood in the center and said, peace to you. I think this is one of the most beautiful things about being a follower of Jesus, is that there really is this perfect peace in the most trying times. This beautiful peace. I want to share a scripture with you. You can put it up. I'll read it to you in a minute. I hope it's even a verse that I can give you this morning. I hope you'll take it with you. I hope it'll be yours when you leave today. I'll tell you when I first heard this verse. I was a youth pastor, like your pastor, Rob, was a youth pastor. I was at Calvary Costa Mesa. Rob was down here at Vista when we first got to know each other. And I was called to the hospital room of some dear friends. The husband had bone cancer. And his wife, Sammy, she actually used to cut my hair. And she invited me to come to the hospital room to comfort Dick. He was dying. And I show up as a youth pastor to comfort Dick. He's got a little clicker in his hand that he was in such pain that he could add a little, I think it was a little morphine clicker to help him deal with the extreme pain he was in. And I was pretty young, and I'm like, that was a hard situation to walk in. And I came to minister, but Sammy ended up ministering to me. And I heard her say to Dick, Dick, and he's grimacing in pain, Dick, he whose mind is stayed on him has perfect peace. And I saw Dick go, and he would smile, and just the joy overcame his weary soul. And I'm there in the room watching this, and we would talk a little bit, and I was there comforting them, and then Dick would begin to just grimace in pain, and Sammy would say, Dick, he whose mind is stayed on him, stay your mind on him, Dick. And I would watch as Dick put his mind on the Lord, just this peace came over. Do you know, for the last 30 years, this is probably the verse that Susie and I share the most with people that are suffering. I almost have this sense that in a way I'm just giving you something that you can start giving to others. It's such a powerful verse, and maybe it's for you this morning. You know, but there's a big difference, and this is a key turning point of the morning, and see if you don't agree. There's a big difference between knowing about this perfect peace and possessing this perfect peace. You know, as believers, we all know about the peace the Lord has for us, but do you possess it? Is it possible your troubled soul came in here this morning and sat down? And it's not that you don't know it, but you don't possess it. The Lord has this. It's almost like he'd be saying to you, you need to stop this. You need to stop. Put your mind on the Lord. He has this perfect peace for you because you trust him. That's what it is, Lord. My mind is on you. I'm being choked. I'm being crushed. I'm being squeezed. The life is being squeezed out of me. But when I get my mind on you, there's this perfect peace. We also share the next verse. I'm going to share it with you from the Amplified Bible. It's so powerful. So trust in the Lord, Or that means to commit yourself to him. I like these other words that the Amplified Bible used to amplify that word trust. Commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And I love the Amplified Bible because it says this, he's the rock of ages. Don't you love that? You know what? Throughout the millennia, people have discovered that there is bedrock underneath your feet as a believer. No matter what's going on, circumstances change, jobs change, spouses change, children change, the rock of ages. You can live with solid ground under your feet, standing on bedrock, eyes on him. And when you find that posture, and I emphasize when you find it, that posture, you find perfect peace, no matter what. And don't you know the world around us? That's what they want. You know, anyone can have peace when things are great. The world very rarely looks at you when you're succeeding and you have peace and go, I want that peace. You know, as we're down this week, we're down and these are troubled times for our family. And there are times that we're wrestling, but the Lord has peace for us. We're discovering his perfect peace. And I know the Lord wants you to discover this perfect peace. You know, another verse that probably most of us think about when we think about peace, it's Philippians 4:6. Do you know it? Oh yeah, you know it. Be anxious for nothing. Or you know what? How the King James words that? It's kind of funny. Be careful about nothing. That sounds kind of funny. Don't be careful. But what it means is don't be careful. But in the opposite, you want to be prayerful. You want to be full of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That means just talking to God about what you need with thanksgiving. You know, no matter what you're going through, if you came in troubled, squeezed, crushed today, do you know you can give thanks? You can always give thanks. Go, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for my church. Thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for your spirit that's going to lead me through this difficult, difficult time. There's always, thank you for my wife, my husband who's standing with me, prays for me. There's always a way to be thankful and let your requests, we don't tell God what to do, but we request, God, I'm asking this of you. I'm requesting this. And look what happens. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. That's where your emotions are. Your mind, that's where we strategize. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe this is the answer. Maybe, and we just wear ourselves out trying to figure out how to make it through. But there's this peace that even though I don't understand, I don't need, Lord, I don't need to understand. I trust you. My eyes are on you. My mind, I'm keeping my mind on you. And here's the teaching. You know, if you wake up and you're in bed, the heart palpitations start. You're like, oh yeah, that's what's going on. Like, you know, I got to face that or I got to figure that out. And, you know, if you get up and eat breakfast and you're like, how are we going to solve this? And if all day long you're just thinking, there's just no answers. There's no answers. What good comes out of that? An ulcer? Right? The Proverbs say, don't worry, it only causes harm. But what good comes if all day long you're saying, Lord, my mind is on you. All day long you're talking to him about it. You feel the heart palpitations and you just go, Lord, my mind is on you. I trust you. I request. What happens if you request and talk to God about something all day long, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times a day? Well, that's so powerful. You're going to experience a move of God. ordering your footsteps to know how to go through what you're going through. I want to read another verse this morning that I feel so strongly is for this morning. It's Luke 12:6. Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. It's interesting how many times Jesus, these are some of the most repeated words out of Jesus's mouth. Do not fear, therefore. Look at the last line is what I want you to see. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do you know how valuable you are to God? Do you know what the price he put on you? Do you know what he paid for you? The New Testament argues if you could trust him to pay for all your sins, the greater, you can trust him for every other thing going on in your life. But you have to know that, how valuable you are to God. And I just sense, we'll put these words up. I sense these words are for somebody this morning. So strongly. Like God just wanted you to hear this morning. God has not forgotten you. You are valuable to him. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, will a nursing mom forget her nursing child? And every mom in here goes, never. But God says it is possible. I mean, depravity, nursing moms can forget even their own child. But God says, I will never forget you. I've engraved you on my palms, which is a prophecy of the cross. I died for you and I'll never forget you. I think of this verse, maybe it's for someone this morning. Mark 4:39. Then Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said, this miracle happened, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I sense this is for someone this morning. You know, this was actually a demonic storm meant to sink all the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. And maybe the storm you're going through is even demonic. Maybe you've even been under demonic attack. And Jesus says, peace. Wonder if you're not someone this morning that Lord wants to do a miracle just to bring total peace. How is that possible in a 45-minute message and an hour at church that God could do a miracle where you leave totally at peace? Perfect peace. Mind stayed on him. Emotions of your heart, strategies of your mind, just calm. Wonder if that's not for you. There's a verse we hear every Christmas. I'll bring it up. Isaiah 9:6 also speaks of peace. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called, you know it, say it, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Who is Jesus? Prince of Peace. Like we know that. It's on all our Christmas cards. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, right at the very center of his reign, when it begins in our life, there's peace. We've been talking about the peace of God. But there's also peace with others. Right? It's amazing how Jesus works in our lives that we're at peace with others. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand. And when you do stand, I want you to think of this verse. I'm going to quote it to you. It's so powerful. When Jesus said, when you stand praying, we're going to stand in a minute. We're going to pray. We're going to stand and pray. Just like this verse says that Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. And we're going to stand in a minute, and you're going to have an opportunity. If that name comes to your mind, if that person, they have hurt me. I am angry at them. There is bitterness in my soul. There is distrust. Forgive them. They come to your mind, right? Maybe you've forgiven them before, but their name still comes to your mind. And you just keep saying it when they come to your mind. Say it today in a minute when I have you stand. Lord, I forgive them. Peace of God. Peace with others. You know, there's one verse that says, as much as depends on you, be at peace with all people. You know, some people won't be at peace with us. But as much as depends on you, be at peace with them. And when we stand in a minute, it's just your heart to say, Lord, I forgive them. I want to be at peace. There's another verse that says, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then you remember, oh yeah, I've hurt someone. It's me. I did it to them. You need to leave your gift at the altar and you need to go to them and be reconciled. And part of being at peace with others, there might be someone this morning that, you know what? You need to just go to them and say, you know what? I have hurt you. I know I have. Or you need to text them, or you need to call them, or you need to email something. You need to say, I want to ask you to forgive me. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brings peace of God, beautiful, perfect peace, peace with others. And then last of all, this is the close of the morning, peace with God. And I want to bring up Romans 5:1. And we'll have the worship team come up. And this might be the most important part of the morning for somebody that's here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And for you, you look up there at that verse and you ask yourself, am I at peace with God? Or is my sin in the way of being at peace with God? Have I made peace with the holy God? Do you know that word justified? It is the most spectacular word. Do you know what it means? It speaks of a judge slamming a gavel down in heaven. Rob Verdine is declared legally righteous in my sight. Is that not incredible? That by putting my faith in Jesus, he not only forgives me, but Jesus lived a perfect life for 33 years. He fulfilled every single commandment of God. Do you know Jesus said he even fulfilled the punctuation marks? And when you trust Christ, he not only takes your sin, pays for them at the cross, but he gives you that perfect righteousness in your account, and you're declared legally righteous in God's sight through faith in Christ. Has that happened for you? Is it possible you're still at war with God? By turning to Christ this morning, you can be forgiven, you can be declared legally righteous. Why don't we bow our heads this morning? Could we just take a minute? And, you know, you might be someone here that you hear about the peace of God. And you've been being choked. Fear, doubt, frustration. You've been squeezed, man. You've been choked. And I want to invite you, just the peace of God. I want you to invite you right now, put your mind on him and just tell him, Lord, I trust you. Lifting my eyes to you, Lord, I trust you. Be the rock under my feet. You know, if you're someone that being at peace with others, a name came to mind. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I know that's you, and I humble myself, and I do forgive them, Lord. I can't do it in my own strength, but just in obedience to you, I forgive them. And I want to keep forgiving them. But you might be someone that the real issue is you're not yet at peace with God. Jesus isn't yet your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. That righteousness hasn't yet been put in your account. You're close, but you haven't crossed the line where you know you're right with God and His righteousness is in your account. You've been declared legally righteous. And if that's you, I want you to just pray right where you sit and just say, Jesus. Just start there. Just say that. If you're at war with God still, if you're not at peace with God, just start by saying the name Jesus. Just say it on your lips. Jesus, forgive me. Pray it from your heart. Cleanse me. This is a morning of making peace with God. Just to ask Him, Lord, change me. And tell Him, say, I surrender to you. You've been at war with God. Just let Him know that I'm waving the white flag. I surrender. My life now belongs to you. Pray that. If you don't know that righteousness is in your account, pray it, Lord, my life now belongs to you. And tell the Lord, I repent of my sin. I'm willing to turn away from anything that you call sin. That's powerful if you'd pray that. That could be the saving moment for you this morning. If you say, I repent. I'm willing to turn from my sin. And Jesus, I'm turning to you. For forgiveness, for righteousness. And if that's you this morning, just pray, Lord, change me. And maybe as you find yourself here, I'm leading you, you're in your gut, you just know, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. And that's why you're going to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me. The Holy Spirit's going to do a work in you from the inside out. Holy Spirit, fill me. Pray it. Holy Spirit, fill me and change me from the inside out. And I'm just going to ask where our heads are bowed. If you were praying a prayer of peace with God, would you just raise your hand right where you sit so I could know who you are and pray? I want to pray for you this morning. Beautiful. Two of you on this side, three of you in the back, four over here, five, six, both of you in the back, seven, eight of you. Anyone else? Nine of you over on the side. Anyone else? You didn't hold your hand up, but you were praying that prayer of peace with God. 10 in the back. Oh, 11 up here in the front. How beautiful. And you raise your hand, I want you to just say, Lord, I surrender. Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender. Lord, just say that. Lord Jesus Christ. Pray it from your lips. Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender. I yield. I'm yours. And if you raise your hand to make peace with God, just thank Him. I want you to just be thankful right now. You're going to take a step of faith and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Pray that. And Lord, thank you for putting your righteousness in my account for justifying me. I want you to pray that. Thank Him for that. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for justifying me today. I receive it. I receive it. And Lord, can we just give applause for these 10, 11 that raised their hand? Can we do that? We're so proud of you, the decision you made, the courage to make that decision. Let's all stand up. And let's all pray for these that raised their hand. Lord, we just pray, would you move in the most powerful way today? making these a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Would you give them a love for your word? If you raised your hand, pray that. Give me a love for your word. And if you raise your hand, would you just pray, Lord, would you make me part of this church so I could grow? Lord, would you surround me with brothers and sisters? Pray that. That could help me grow. And again, just thank him. Just you're actively acknowledging he has saved you this morning. And if there's someone that came to your mind, you're standing now, let's pray together. And why don't you say their name and just pray a prayer that, Lord, I forgive them. Or maybe you've hurt someone and that name comes to your mind. And just pray, Lord, would you help them to forgive me? And I'm going to ask that the elders and pastors and wives, they're going to come up today. You got one of you guys just sing just a short chorus. And once they're all up here, I'll give you some instruction. Let's just respond with this chorus.
So make me a vessel and make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. So make me a vessel. And make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Oh God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
You know, the new wine comes out of the crushing. Interesting that you picked that song and probably just in step with the Spirit, like that beauty comes out of the ashes. And here's what we want to do this morning. If you raised your hand for justification, for peace with God, would you come? Come, just don't even think about it. Just come. Come pray. Come let someone know, hey, I raised my hand today. And I just want someone else to pray with me. And I just want you to pray with me and know that this happened in me. If you raised your hand, we're going to keep worshiping. Come. And also, if there was someone, come right now. If you raised your hand, don't think about it. Would you? Just come. Just don't even think about it. You raise your hand. Just take a step of faith. The next step is a step of faith to just come let people pray with you. And also, if there was someone that came to your mind and it hurts, you don't have to say their name, but come let someone pray with you. Just come and let them and go, man, I'm praying that. I just need someone else to agree with me. Or maybe the name came to your mind of someone you've hurt, and you could just come. Find your leaders. Come now. Just come. Come let them pray for you. Once someone's being prayed for, you come down and you can stand next in line. And you can be next. Can we come? If there's someone that came to your mind, take a step. Just say, you know what? I am going to let someone else pray for me this morning. I, you know what? I am going to ask for prayer. I am going to ask for a miracle in that situation. I am going to ask for something to change in that. I seem to not be able to be at peace with them. Or I seem to not be able to let it go. Or they've hurt me too badly. I can't even ask for forgiveness. Maybe you could have someone agree with you to even ask for forgiveness. And we're just going to worship lightly while they pray and while you pray. Here's the deal. If God is pricking you, come. Take a step of faith. Come behind someone that's already praying. You can be next. One more time, if you raise your hand for salvation, you take a step. Step out of the shadows. Let someone up here know, hey, Today, I prayed for that. I promise you that is going to be powerful as you confess that to your leaders.
So make me a vessel and make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new life out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new life.
You know, if you heard the stories about responding to the Spirit and you're like, yeah, I want that. But now the Spirit's kind of pricking you. Go get prayer. Go bring that before the Lord. Pray with someone about that. You've got to take a step of faith. It has to start somewhere. And I sense for someone, there's that word that, you know, what you're going through really is demonic. It's a demonic storm. And I believe this morning that you're going to leave with a great calm. But come, let the leaders pray for you. Just, God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself. Stepping out of your row to let a leader pray for you would be humbling yourself.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yes, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yes, you turn it for good. You take it all. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take it all. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
Yeah. This is the last time I'm going to call. I'm going to step away from the podium, but I was just thinking of a good friend of mine that was at the conference that Rob talked about. He was one of the most powerful speakers. And when he was at church, the speaker kept calling and calling and calling. And he shares his story. He was the last person to go down. And God moved in his life in the most powerful way. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Let your elders anoint you with oil. Let them pray for you. If you made a decision for Christ, let them know. You've got to take a step today. I just can't plead with you. Don't leave without letting your leaders pray for you.